Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather together this morning to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Want to welcome all of you here this morning and announce how glad I am to see all of you and glad to see some of you who are visiting with us or who haven't been here for a while. So we give God thanks for all of you. I always wonder why this is always a big open space, why everybody sits over here. I guess I have to check my mouthwash or something like that. Maybe it's I don't know. But every time it seems like everybody makes a beeline over here in this place, you know. But I understand, I think. But it is indeed good being in the house of the Lord this morning and being with all of you. I want to say thank you again for those who helped out for our movie night last Friday. It was the second night of movies that we had, and so again, we had some fun, popcorn, enjoyed a movie, and again, thank you for those who came to help out with that. Please make sure you read your bulletin as well as go to our webpage and stay abreast of other things that will be happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church. We had a successful, as many of you know, Vacation Bible School, but we give God thanks for that, which occurred last week. But we're looking forward again to events for this upcoming fall. Our Community Fest is still being planned for the fall. Actually, it's going to be Oktoberfest, so please make sure that you are on the lookout for that, another opportunity to for fun and fellowship and to engage the surrounding community. Our reading for this morning is going to come from the book of Ephesians. We'll be reading from chapter 3 of Ephesians, verses 14 through 21, which is found on page 1067 and 68 of your Pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We want to continue this morning looking at Paul's little letter to the church at Ephesus. A couple of weeks ago, we heard Paul letting us and the Ephesians in on God's secret plan, God's plan for the whole world, God's secret plan to bring all things together in the Lord Jesus Christ, all things together in heaven and all things together on earth. That's God's secret plan. Again, it's to bring all things together. And last week we heard Paul tell us that not only is God bringing heaven and earth together, but God is also bringing all of humanity together as well. God's secret plan is to tear down all the walls of hostility that separate us from other human beings, that separate us from each other, and to bring all of human beings together in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what Paul has told us thus far as we have looked together at this little letter in to the church at Ephesus. But in our reading this morning, Paul he's on his knees. He is praying, which makes sense because Paul is in prison when he writes this letter. He's locked up. And we should understand that Paul is in prison not because he's been going around doing what we might identify today as something religious. He's not going around saying, hey, I've got this new religious experience that everyone ought to try, or he's not going around saying, hey, I got a new religion I want everyone to believe in. No, the reason that Paul is locked up, because he's been going around the world proclaiming the news that there's a new Lord, a new king, a new ruler of the world who is bringing all things together in himself. And that new Lord is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Paul has been going around proclaiming that good news, that Jesus is Lord. And that's the reason that Paul is locked up. That's the reason he's in prison. And so we find him this morning, and he is praying. We can imagine Paul, can't we, on his knees in a dark cell, totally vulnerable and open before the Lord, pouring out the contents of his heart. If you've ever been in a desperate situation, if you've ever been in a dark situation, you know what it means to be on your knees. You know what it means to pray. You know what it means to open the contents of your heart to God. And that's what Paul is doing this morning. He's praying. He's on his knees. He's saying, Lord, please help me get out of this situation. Lord, please get me out of this jam. Get me out of this cell. Let me be able to go back and do the work you called me to do. But that's not what he's praying for, is it? He's not praying any of that. I'm sure he had plenty of time to pray that. That's what I would probably be praying if I were in Paul's place, but that's not what he's praying. Instead, he's praying for his church. He's praying for the Ephesians. He's praying for this straggling little community of Jesus followers on the edge of the Roman Empire who has dared to believe against all odds that this Jesus, whom God has raised from the dead, is indeed the true Lord and Savior of the whole world. That's what Paul is praying for. He's praying for all of us this morning, all of God's people. And you might notice what Paul is praying for. Paul isn't praying the typical kind of things that we often pray for. He doesn't pray that God will grant people safety. He doesn't pray that God will grant them good health. I'm sure there were a number of people in the congregation at Ephesus who were in need of prayer because they were sick, but Paul doesn't pray for that. He doesn't pray that God will make them prosperous and successful. He doesn't pray that God will help them to live whatever version of the good life was on offer back then at the time. No, instead, what Paul prays for, essentially, is that the Ephesians will be filled with the fullness of God. Have you ever prayed that? Have you ever had anyone pray that for you, that you be filled with the fullness of God? In our reading last week, we heard Paul using building language. He likened the church, God's people in the world, to a beautiful building, a beautiful structure, a temple like the temple in Jerusalem in Paul's day, a beautiful temple where people worshiped, a temple whose cornerstone is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Old Testament, whenever the temple was constructed, or whenever the worship place was constructed and built, what happened was that the presence and the glory of the Lord would come to fill the whole temple. That's what happens in the book of Exodus, where God instructs Moses to build the tabernacle, the tent where the people are come to worship God. Moses builds the tabernacle and constructs the tabernacle as God had instructed him. And Moses does it. And as soon as Moses is finished building the tabernacle and placing the furniture in the tabernacle, the furniture of worship, as soon as that is finished, the presence of God comes and fills the whole tabernacle. The whole tabernacle is filled with the presence and the glory of God. And the same thing happens later when Solomon builds the temple, the first temple, the glorious temple, one of the wonders of the world. Solomon builds the temple, and when Solomon is finished building the temple, the glory of the Lord comes and it fills the Holy of Holies. It fills the temple so that God's presence and God's glory dwells in the temple. And the temple, remember, is a little world. It is a microcosm of the world, and it presaged what God is one day going to do for the whole world. One day God is going to suffuse and fill the whole world with God's presence. One day God is going to suffuse and fill the whole world with God's glory. That's what Paul means when he says one day God is going to bring heaven and earth together. It's all going to be together, all going to be suffused with the glory and presence of God. And this morning, Paul is praying. He's praying for the Ephesians. He's praying for all of God's people. He's praying for the body of Christ. He's praying for us, the new temple in the world. He is praying that we too will be filled with the fullness of God. I like the fact that Paul is praying for us. That's what God calls us to do for each other. God calls us to pray for one another. That's why every Sunday when we come together, we pray the prayers of the people, because we are praying for each other. That's why there's a care and concern list in your bulletin with people who are in need of prayer. We are called to pray for each other, and Paul is praying for all of us. Paul is praying for God's people, and we have the opportunity to overhear Paul's prayer for us, for the church, for God's people. Paul, of course, is concerned about the church. He is talking about the church. He's talking about the community, the household of God's people. He's talking about God's people everywhere, but he's particularly concerned with this little congregation in Ephesus. But he's praying for the church. He's not just concerned with individuals, but he's praying for the whole church. You know, every first Sunday when we observe the Lord's Supper, we recite together the Apostles' Creed. And we say what we believe. We believe in God the Father Almighty. We believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord, his only Son. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And then we get down to the fourth plank where we say we believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Catholic here meaning one universal church. And we say we believe in that. But at that point, I think we're fudging a little bit because we're not quite sure what that means. We live in a very individualistic age. When we think about our relationship with God, we often think about our individual relationship with God, our personal relationship with God, our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's fine. That's important. But when we think of the church at all, we think, well, the church is okay. It's the place where we come from time to time. If we get up early enough in the morning, it's the place where we come to worship and fellowship, and all of those are good things. But I don't know if I believe in it. I don't know if I believe in the church. I don't know what that means to believe in the church. But Paul believed in the church. He believed in the community of God's people. And that's the reason he's in prison this morning, because he's been going around the world creating and sustaining and nurturing these little communities of Jesus people who are not only filled with the fullness of God, but who are commanded to go out and to pursue God's plan of filling the whole world with the glory of God's presence. And that's why God is praying for the Ephesians. And that's why he's praying for all of us. He's praying that we be filled with the fullness of God. But we might be asking ourselves this morning, what does that look like? What does it look like to be filled with the fullness of God? How can we know if we are filled with the fullness of God? How can we know here this morning at Omni Presbyterian Church if we are filled with the fullness of God. After all, if we're not careful, it's possible to be filled with all kinds of things, isn't it? We can be filled with pride. We can be filled with hatred. We can be filled with self-righteousness. We can be filled with arrogance and loathing of others. We can be filled with hubris and ignorance. We can be filled with all of those things, claiming to be filled with the fullness of God. So what does the fullness of God look like? Well, I think it looks like what Paul says here in our text this morning. The fullness of God is to experience with all the saints the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of the love of Christ in each and every one of us. The love of Christ that covers the whole community. The love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. To be filled with the fullness of God means to be rooted and grounded in the love of God, as Paul says. It is to experience the fullness of God's love for each and every one of us. I like what Paul reminds us here. He says that love surpasses all knowledge. God's love surpasses anything that we can know. It surpasses all knowledge. And that's a little troubling for us because our knowledge is often quite limited in all kinds of ways. I was listening to the radio the other day and they were talking about UFOs, unidentified flying objects. And the gentleman that was being interviewed appeared to be a rather sober journalist, but he was saying that most of the UFOs that people experiencing can be explained in various ways. They're either weather balloons or they're experimental aircraft, maybe experimental aircraft that belongs to us, our country, or maybe experimental aircraft that belongs to some of our rival countries. But most of the UFOs can be explained. But he says what can't be explained is that there is a small percentage of UFOs, a small percentage of objects that people just don't know what they are. There's no explanation for them. They kind of defy what we know about the world. And he said, I'm not saying that there are extraterrestrial life out there. I'm just saying that there are certain things we don't understand. There's certain things about physics that we might not understand. Certain things that surpasses our knowledge. And that's true when it comes to God and God's love. Our knowledge is quite limited, and so our love is often quite limited. And we often think that God's love is limited too. We think God's love is limited to people like us. We think that God's love is limited to people who believe like us, to people who think like us. We think God sometimes is a small God, a stingy God, a God who is limited in some ways. But Paul reminds us again and again of the wideness and the breadth of God's love. He reminds us that God is an abundant God, that God is a God who wants to lavish God's blessings upon us, that God is a God whose love is far larger than what we can even begin to comprehend. And so Paul is praying for us. He's praying that we will be able to know, be able to comprehend, and to be filled with this incomprehensible love of God. And not only to be filled with it, but to go out into the world and to help fill the whole world with the glory of God's love. You know, from time to time, it seems like God's secret plan is just so far away from being realized, because that's God's secret plan. That's what God plans, to suffuse the whole world in God's love, this incomprehensible love. And often when we look at the world, we say there's no way it can begin to happen when We see what's happening in the world. No way that God's love can seem to overcome our differences. No way that God's love can even begin to overcome the barriers that we erect, the ways that we divide ourselves among each other. No way that God's love can even begin to overcome our hatreds and our differences. I was watching the news the other day, and there was a congressman, and he was making a speech, and he was talking about the book of Revelations, and he was saying, you know, the book of Revelation says that we need to bring weapons. We need to continue to spend weapons and spend money on weapons and send the money to the nations that we think that God wants us to send it to. And it's all about weapons. And I thought to myself, my goodness, you know, I quit. I give up. You know, if even God's people continue to think in this way, if even God's people continue to be divided, if even God's people fail to be able to see what God's true intention is, then what hope is there for the world? But Paul reminds us this morning that God is capable of doing and bringing to bear what might seem impossible. The God is more capable of doing what we sometimes think is impossible, what we sometimes might give up on, have given up on. God is capable of bringing about the world that God has already resolved to bring about, and that is a world that is suffused with God's love. That is a world where heaven and earth is brought together. That is a world where all of us, all of human beings are brought together. That is the world that you and I, as God's people, are already called to inaugurate. Because we are the people who are filled, even now, with God's love. I was reading something earlier about Julian of Norwich. We had occasion to talk about her one time before. She was a 14th century peasant woman who lived in a very difficult time. She lived in the midst of a pandemic, the Black Death, and she herself had caught the pandemic and was on the verge of death. And while being on the verge of death, she asked to be propped up, and the priest came to give her the last rites, and he put a cross at her feet. She couldn't say anything, couldn't move her body. All she could do was to look at that cross, and that's what she did. And while she looked at that cross, she had a series of visions, 15 visions. And in the midst of the visions, they could all be boiled down to one thing that the Lord was communicating to her. That no matter what is going on in the world, no matter what is going on in our lives, that all will be well. All will be well. All manner of things will be well. And she said that she didn't know what that meant. She often wondered what that message meant, what the Lord had been trying to tell her. And she writes, and she was the first woman to compose anything in the English language, but she writes in her little book, The Revelations of Divine Love, she said it was more than 15 years after the vision, and after I had the vision, that I was answered in my spirit's understanding about what the Lord was trying to tell me. And the Lord said, you should know that the meaning is this, and know it well. Love was his meaning. Who showed it to you? Love. What did it show you? Love. Why did he show you it? For love. Hold on to this and you will know and understand love more and more, but you will not know or learn anything else, ever. And the point that she is making is that's because that's who God is. God is the incomprehensible, all-encompassing love that holds each and every one of us in God's hands. And that is the love that will eventually suffuse the whole world. But in the meantime, Paul is praying for all of us. He's praying that you and I will be filled with that love, that we will be filled with the fullness of God's love in our hearts. So thank you, Paul. Thank you this morning. Thank you for praying for the folks at Ephesus. And thank you for praying for the folks here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Thank you for praying for all of us. Thank you for helping us to know and to take deep down inside of our hearts the great love that God has for each and every one of us, and the great love that we are to be about for the healing of the whole world. Let us pray. Gracious God, this morning, you have reminded us that we are called to be your people for a special purpose. We are called to be your people because you are in the process of filling the whole creation with your glorious presence, the presence of your love, and your desire is that we be filled with that love even now as we go forth as your people into the world. You have called us here at Olney Presbyterian Church to be about that purpose too. We admit that we live in interesting times, anxious times, times when people are at each other's throats, times when hatred seems to be so powerful, times when we are so divided, but you have called us here in this place to be people who are filled with your future, that we are filled with your love. And so we ask that you strengthen us and help us as we seek to be your faithful servants in the midst of our world here this morning. Help us truly to be what you have called us to be for the healing of our world and the healing of our nation and the healing of our relationships. Help us to be the people who experience the length and the breadth and the width and the depth of the great love that you have for us and for the whole world. And we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.